ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नैतेन
किं ज्ञातेन तवार्जुन
विष्टव्याहमिदं कृत्स्नम्
एकांशेन स्थितो जगत्। But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. And Prabhupada writes here, the Lord here tells Arjuna that there is no point in understanding how things exist in their separate opulence and grandeur. He should know that all things are existing due to Krishna's entering them as super soul. From Brahma, the most gigantic entity, on down to the smallest ant, all are existing because the Lord has entered each and all and it is sustaining them. And then later Prabhupada writes, one who thoroughly studies the different descriptions of the opulences and expansions of Krishna's energy, then such a person can understand without any doubt the position of Lord Sri Krishna and can fix his mind in the worship of Krishna without deviation. The Lord is all pervading by the expansion of his partial representation, the super soul, who enters into everything that is. Pure devotees therefore concentrate their minds in Krishna consciousness in full devotional service. Devotional service and worship of Krishna are very clearly indicated in this chapter, in verses 8 through 11. That is the way of pure devotional service. So in this way, in this chapter, all vivid descriptions of the different opulences are given, so that even a common man can be attracted to the Supreme Lord. Religion is performed worldwide by different people, different places. But all different religions, they all approach that Supreme Truth to different levels. Some other religions, they frighten people, that there is a eternal hell where you will be put forever, for all time to come, if you don't surrender to Jesus. If you don't accept Jesus, then you will be put in hell forever. So there are people who frighten their followers and make them commit themselves to God or pay some donation or go for confession booth and things like that. But such religions, although they may instill some kind of fear, they in the long run, they cannot give the genuine happiness to the follower. Like you see in Muslim countries, and they have this parda, women are supposed to put parda. What do you call it? Burqa, they call it? Yeah. Burqa. Burqa, is it? Burqa. Yeah. So they cover their body, they don't even show a finger, hand or leg, so that nobody can see them. So it appears very nice that they are following the religious principles so strictly, very nicely. If anybody does eve teasing, he is captured and brought to the Charsandi, the middle of four roads or eight roads, and is put upside down and people spit on him and they stone him, beat him to death practically, even today. So the rules of the religion appear to be very strict, and appears attractive. But the tendency of the living entity is to gratify his senses. Although out of fear, one may not break the regulative principles. The very same people, they go to another country to enjoy. They leave the country, they go to rich people, they fly to other country, they enjoy and come back, if it is not allowed in their country. So the religion doesn't serve the purpose if it simply frightens the people. Also, many people like following some kind of religion because it satisfies their needs. Like here Prabhupada writes in the last purport here, there is a mission that regularly propounds that worship of any demigod will lead one to Supreme Personality of Godhead. But worship of demigods is thoroughly discouraged herein, because even the greatest demigods like Brahma and Shiva represent only a part of the opulence of the Supreme God. Krishna is the origin of everyone born, and no one is greater than him. So, no, many people don't teach this truth. People teach that one can worship demigods and one can achieve all material benefits from them. In fact, people think if there is no benefit to be achieved from God, there is no point going to temple. Many people think like that. In India, it's very, very common. And many of the Indians settling abroad also, many of the Hindu temples, that is why people go to Hindu temples, go to Ganesh temple or Durga temple or Shiva temple. It's very common. Like that. That religion also does not satisfy a person. Because if you perform dharma for the sake of artha, then what would happen? You are doing dharma principles. You go and worship God, you give flowers to God, you give fruits to Him, bow down, and then you earn some artha by that. So if I give something to God, God will give me a lot in return. And then what happens? You cannot be happy because it's a business. Business dealing with God. So people who get artha, they use it for kama, for enjoying different varieties of enjoyments by worshipping devatas like that. But there are very few who will even come to Krishna. Very, very few. As Krishna says about the four types of devotees who come to Him. Chaturvidha, Bhajante, Mam, Dana, Sukrit, Arjuna. Very few come to Him. Even those who come to Krishna, they don't have much proper understanding. You know, there is a group of people called Swadhyay, headed by Panduranga Tole. Suddenly they are good people, they appreciate, they accept Krishna as the Supreme, you know, they worship Krishna as a Yogeshwar. But the focus is not on Krishna worship, the focus is more on social service. They are focused only Krishna and no other distraction anywhere. And one should love Krishna without any motivation, without any interruption. One should serve Krishna. This is actually called as the path of pure devotion. And even in that, majority of those who follow the path of pure devotion service will teach us how to become a good servant of Krishna. Many people do not ascend beyond the platform of worshipping Krishna in great reverence. Many people worship Krishna as Vishwarupa Darshan. When I was a small boy, even I was attracted to that form, Vishwarupa. Buy a picture and put it on the wall. People worship 200 forms of Krishna, they worship in Dasatva. They worship as a servant. People have not ascended to higher regions of religion. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita there is an explanation given in the beginning that when Krishna saw that all the people of this world are practicing different type of religions, but nobody has understood for what purpose He came to give Bhagavad Gita, Krishna felt very sorry. Lord felt that, you know, people are just foolish, performing so many kinds of ritualistic religion without understanding why I have appeared in this world. So He personally wanted to come and teach the people the ultimate religion. And that's how Lord Krishna Himself appears as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's a famous verse which says, Anarpita charim chirat karunayadavatirna kalav samarpayitum unnatojvala rasam swabhaktim shriyam Hari purata sundara dyuti kadam vasandi pita sadahridaya kandare swaratau vashachinandana. So this verse says, Anarpita charim chirat karunayadavatirna kalav. For a very long period of time, what was not offered to the general people, in order to offer that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Anarpita charim chirat means for a very long time. Karunayad avatirna kalav. Out of His own mercy, Krishna appears. Avatirna kalav in the age of Kali Yuga. Samarpayitum unnata ujjvala rasam means the topmost mellow of devotional service He has come to give, which is the Madhurya Bhakti. He has come to give that. And then He says, Hari Purata Sundara Dyuti Kadamba Sandeepita Sadahridaya Kandare Swarata Vashachanadana. So he says that personality, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is golden in complexion, whose body is of the hue of gold, may he enter our hearts exactly like a lion, he says. So what is the comparison of a lion entering our heart? It is said sometimes an elephant which is running in the forest, chased by a lion, it enters into a cave. But the lion does not leave the elephant. Lion proceeds behind the elephant and goes inside the cave and knocks him down and drags him out, brings him out of the cave. So lion is very powerful. Similarly, in our hearts, lot of kalmash, that is compared to a black elephant, has very quickly entered our hearts. And that is occupying our hearts. And Lord Chaitanya is like a lion who will enter into our heart, which is like a cave, and capture that dirty kalmash and bring it out. And in this way, free us from all kinds of anarthas. So when all the anarthas are washed out from the heart, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleansed the Gundicha temple, like that, then one's heart becomes a fit place for the Lord to come and reside. Then one can worship the Lord. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught higher and higher and higher levels of religious principles, which cannot be even dreamt of by any religion. Nobody from any religion can even imagine or dream about such lofty heights of religion that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach. In the 14th chapter of Antalila, there is a description about some of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by hearing which we will know how Lord Chaitanya taught how one should perform devotion service. Whoever has the mobile, please kindly put it in vibration mode. We shouldn't distract the minds. Our minds are supposed to be absorbed in the holy sound vibration, not the nonsensical sound of this material world. Lord Chaitanya, as we said, is Sakshat Krishna himself. But it is said, when Krishna wanted to appear in this world, and he told Srimati Radharani, Srimati Radharani said that, no, you want to, actually Krishna wants to appear to taste the devotional service. That is the purpose of his appearing in this age as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is said, out of the two people, the Lord and the devotee, a devotee experiences more joy than the Lord. What does the devotee do? Devotee renders service. And the Lord receives service. So who relishes more? The devotee relishes more. And the Lord is seeing that the devotees are all very happy, even happier than him. So he is wondering how the devotees are so happy. And especially all the devotees headed by Srimati Radharani, they are so happy. So the Lord wants to know how the devotees are so happy. He wants to understand that happiness. He feels some incompleteness in his heart. Now somebody may say, in Ishopanishad it is said, Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate, isn't it? Lord is complete, and everything that emanates from him is also complete. And that is complete, and this is complete, everything is complete, it is said. Then how can Lord experience any incompleteness in his heart? Is it ever possible? It is possible because inside the completeness, there is also one element called as incompleteness, isn't it? Otherwise, the complete is not complete. So that incompleteness that the Lord feels is that, how is it that my devotees are feeling better happiness than me? Let me find out what is that happiness that Srimati Radharani is relishing. So he wants to take her role and see. So Krishna tells Srimati Radharani that I am going to appear in Kali Yuga and I am going to become my own devotee and I am going to perform exactly all the activities of devotee. Whatever you are doing now, I am going to perform. Activity like a devotee. And when Srimati Radharani hears it, she says, because she is the topmost devotee, she is most concerned about the Lord. She says, if you appear like me, you will roll on the ground, you will fall on the ground, you will, you know, you will suffer so much. It's better that I cover your whole body with my hue, with her golden hue. That is why the Shyam Sundar's form becomes covered over by the golden hue of Srimati Radharani. And that's how the Lord, instead of being Shyam Sundar, he becomes Gaur Sundar. That's why it's called as Gauranga. Gaur means golden. Anga means limbs of the body. Gauranga means one whose limbs are like golden. So it's because it's Krishna, but who is covered by the hue of Srimati Radharani. And the Lord appears in this world like that. And when he appeared, It is said when Lord Chaitanya was living in Jagannath Puri, he lived exactly in the mood of the gopis who were feeling separation from Krishna when Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura. Constantly he was absorbed in this particular mood. And amongst the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the topmost. So he felt exactly like the mood that Radharani felt when Uddhava had come to Vrindavan. When Uddhava had come, all the gopis were very eager to hear the message from Uddhava, what message Lord Krishna has sent to them. And at that time, Srimati Radharani is speaking to the bumblebee. We have discussed about it long ago. So, that poem sung by Srimati Radharani towards the bumblebee, where she takes the bumblebee as a messenger from Krishna, and she is chastising Krishna first, and then later on begging Krishna, you know. That prayer is considered the top class prayer by all the Vaishnavas. The song sung by Srimati Radharani towards the bumblebee. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exactly in that mood of Srimati Radharani when he was living in Gambira, in Jagannath Puri. So day in and day out he used to feel a very great separation. So these histories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were recorded by many Vaishnavas. Some of them were living very close to him, some of them were living far away. Those two of them who were very close to him were Raghunath Das Goswami and Sarud Damodar. Those who witnessed all these activities of Mahaprabhu, and they wrote them down. And later on when Raghunath Das Goswami spoke it in Vrindavan, they were recorded by Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, from whom we are hearing Chaitanya Charitamrita today. So, Raghunath Das Goswami had a very elaborate record of these things, and Sarud Damodar had a very brief record. So, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami says, I am going to now give you detailed explanation like a fluffy cotton, you know. When you expand it, it becomes more elaborate. So, Raghunath Das Goswami gives a very vivid description about Mahaprabhu's behavior when he was in Gambira. One day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lying on his bed and he was dreaming that he was in Vrindavan. And in his dream, he saw Lord Krishna very beautifully decorated with pitambar, yellow garments, shining like lightning, and decorated with beautiful forest flowers and curly locks of hair, and wearing a peacock feather on his head, and playing on the flute with his beautiful threefold bending form. And he was surrounded by many of the gopis who were all beautifully dancing. And in the center, there was also Krishna and Srimati Radharani. So when this sight came to his mind, immediately he thought, oh, I am with Krishna and I am in Vrindavan. And he was feeling great jubilation. In the meantime, Govinda saw that now the morning has come and sun has risen and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hasn't woken up. So Govinda went and woke him up. And as soon as he opened his eyes, he realized it was only a dream and he felt very unhappy. So he got up from his bed and he took his morning bath and he proceeded to Jagannath temple. And there were huge crowds. There were thousands and thousands of people and taking darshan of Lord Jagannath. And Mahaprabhu always used to stand near the Garuda Stambha and take darshan. So he was standing near the Garuda Stambha and he was taking darshan. And he was in a semi-state of consciousness because he had just come out of the dream. And he was totally absorbed in the remembrance of Brajendra Nandan Krishna. At that time, an Orissan lady who was very eager to take darshan of the deities of Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, she climbed up on the Garuda Stambha, and in order to take a support she kept her foot on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's shoulders. And as soon as Govinda noticed it, immediately he shouted at her, immediately he brought her down. She got down immediately, and as soon as she came to her external consciousness, she realized, oh, I've been putting my foot on the feet of the Lord, and she immediately fell on the ground and offered obeisances. Actually, Garuda Stambha, Garuda is actually a great devotee of the Lord. To put one's foot on the Garuda Stambha is considered very offensive. And putting one's foot on Lord Chaitanya's shoulders, who is Lord himself, it is even a much greater offense, offending the Lord, offending the devotee. That's why Govinda told her to get down. But when Lord Chaitanya saw that, he said, oh Adivasya. He said, Adivasi actually means uncivilized man. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gives another meaning for this word Adivasi. He says, Adi means very old, and Vasi means live. So Adivasi means one who has been living with me for a long time. That means, oh my dear intimate friend. That's the meaning of Adivasi. It is another name. So, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to lovingly call Govinda as Adivasi, Bhaktisiddhanta says it's not a derogatory term, it is to be understood that, oh my loving servant who has been living with me long time, you know about me, then why do you behave like this? That's what he asks him. So he's saying, oh Adivasya, why did you ask her to get down? You know, just, and then he said, just look at her eagerness with which she is seeing the deity of Jagannath. Lord did not bless me with such eagerness. Just see her, with her body, with her mind, with her words, with her whole existence, she is totally absorbed in the beauty of Lord Jagannath. Otherwise, how she would have put her foot on my shoulders and climbed on the Garuda Stambha. And then he said, I pray at her lotus feet that Lord give me also such eagerness to see him with such intense love. So in this way, when Lord Chaitanya was speaking, because he saw Govinda, he saw the woman, gradually he came to his external consciousness. And when he came to his external consciousness, when he looked at the deities of Jagannath, Baladeva, Subhadra, immediately Lord Jagannath appeared to him with the grandeur, the opulence. He saw the chakra, Shankan chakra. So he was appearing like Kurukshetra. So he said, where have I come? I was in Vrindavan and I have come here to Kurukshetra now. So he felt very disappointed when he looked at the deities. He saw Jagannath, Baladeva, Subhadra, all of them in the chariot, like they travel in a very majestic way. So Srimati Radharani used to have similar feelings that when she would see Krishna in Kurukshetra, where Krishna is wearing mukut and all kinds of armor and carrying weapons and standing on chariot, and all around him there are rattling chariots and horses and elephants and infantry, all kinds of soldiers and people saluting him and bowing down to him. You know, this kind of kingly opulence, when Srimati Radharani and all the gopis saw, they really didn't like it. They said, what is this Krishna? We want to see you as Krishna in Vrindavan, who doesn't show all this opulence, who just wears a beautiful garland of forest flowers, who wears a peacock feather, and who has a very simple dress, and where there are humming bees, and you know, there is beautiful Yamuna, and the forest of Vrindavan, everything. So in the same way, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this form of Jagannath, Baladeva, Subhadra, he felt very disappointed. He became very morose. Then he returned back. He felt as if a person who gets a valuable jewel for some time and then he loses it. How would he feel? He felt exactly like that. And he sat on the ground and with his own feet he started making markings on the ground. And his eyes were brimming with tears, like Ganges flowing from the eyes. In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exactly exhibited the mood of the gopis read by Srimati Radharani. Daytime he would take darshan of Jagannath like that. And in the night, all night he would be talking about Krishna or hearing about Krishna. So his most intimate assistants were Swarup Damodar and Ramanand Rai, who would be on either side of him, and they would pacify him very wonderfully by singing. Like Ramanand Rai would recite verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. And Swarup Damodar would sing very sweetly. In this way, they would pacify Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes whole night, sometimes half of the night, till he goes to sleep. And Mahaprabhu would reveal his mind. Just see the sweetness of Krishna. How wonderful he is. And he would continue speaking like that. So every night they would spend like this. One night in the same way, when they were reciting verses and singing poetry, Mahaprabhu was hearing. And that night, he was totally absorbed in remembrance of Krishna. And then, it was almost middle of the night, then they brought him to his room inside and they put him to rest. And then Ramanandra went to his place. And Swarup Damodar and Govinda were lying right outside the room, outside the door where Mahaprabhu was, in which room Mahaprabhu was sleeping.
And Mahaprabhu was loudly chanting Hare Krishna and weeping, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he was continuously chanting all night. At one point of time, Sarva Damodar didn't hear the holy name being vibrated. It stopped. So he wanted to see whether Mahaprabhu has gone to sleep. So he went into his room and saw all the three doors were bolted, but still Mahaprabhu had disappeared from there. He was not there. Then immediately all the devotees got up, and everyone got up and they took a lantern and they started searching him all around. And when they came to the Simhadwar gate, the northern gate, they found him in front of the Simhadwar gate, Mahaprabhu lying down. As soon as they saw him, devotees were very satisfied and happy. But then when they took the lamp very close to his face and they saw, they found that Mahaprabhu was totally unconscious. There was no breathing in the nose. And all the different parts of his body had become elongated. It was almost like 6 to 7 cubits, which means 1 cubit is 1.5 feet. Almost like 9 feet or something, 9 or 10 feet. His body had become elongated. And all the joints of his body, like the hand, and the neck, and the hips, and the leg, all the joints had become slackened, and the in between the joints there was 6 inches length, only skin. The body had become elongated. So whenever Mahaprabhu would go into deep ecstasy, all his limbs would practically become loosened and they would get elongated like that. And there was foam in his mouth, and saliva coming out of his mouth, and the whole body was practically standstill. When they saw this, they became very afraid. Horrified, and all the devotees, they went close to his ears and they were chanting Hare Krishna very loudly and repeatedly for a long period of time. And after repeated recitation, when the holy name entered his heart, slowly Mahaprabhu came to his senses and he opened his eyes, and then he gladly chanted Hari 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 Bol, shouted. Then he looked around at all Vaishnavas. Then he asked, where is Krishna? Then where am I now? Who has brought me here? He was asking. He looked all around. He didn't know. Then Sarva Damodar lifted him and gave him hand on his shoulder and said, let's go back to our place. I will tell you everything that happened. Then he took him back. And then he told what happened the night. He said, I just don't know how I left this place. I don't know how I ended up in that northern gate of Simhadwar. He didn't even know that. All I know is Krishna appeared in front of me. He gave me a darshan, but that was only like a lightning. Just like lightning appearing in the sky and disappearing. Like that Krishna appeared to me and he disappeared. And I searched after him. I went behind him and I went and went. I don't know where I went. And then again he asked, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? He was in semi-consciousness, half-consciousness. And then all the devotees heard the conch shell blowing in the Jagannath Puri temple. Early morning, because the whole night had gone off. Then Mahaprabhu came to external consciousness and immediately everyone went to bathe, took bath, and then they went to take darshan of Lord Jagannath in the temple. Like that. In this way, he used to be always absorbed in remembrance of Krishna as Prajendranandan. One another day, when all the devotees along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were walking towards the sea to go for a bath, all of a sudden he saw at a distance a sand dune called as a Chataka Parvat. So when he saw that sand dune, immediately he remembered Govardhan. And he started running towards that mountain very fastly, so swiftly, in the speed of wind. Nobody could catch him. As soon as Govinda saw Mahaprabhu running, and Govinda ran behind him immediately. Then one Vaishnava saw Govinda running behind Mahaprabhu and he immediately made a loud sound, loud shout, just see, Mahaprabhu is running behind the sand dune. Then all the other Vaishnavas also realized the danger and immediately everyone got up and started running behind him. And Mahaprabhu was singing this wonderful prayer. Hantaya madri avala haridasa varya yadrama krishna charana sparsha pramoda Manam tanoti sahagokana yostayosya paniyasuyavasakandara kandamulaihi
This is a song sung by the gopis of Vrindavan. They are singing, Hantaya. Hantaya means, it's a expression of wonder. Oh, that's the meaning of Hanta. Hantaya Madri. Adri means mountain. Hantaya Madri Abala Haridasavarya. Oh, gopis, they are telling the other gopis. All of you gopis, just look at this beautiful Govardhan hill. Who is a Haridasavarya? Haridasavarya means who is the topmost amongst Haridasas. Haridasa is a Krishna's devotee, servant. Amongst all Krishna's servants, who is the topmost servant? Govardhan. Just look at this Haridasavarya. And they are saying, Pani Suya Vasakandra Kandamulai. This Govardhan is supplying all the necessities that are needed by Krishna, Balram and the covered boys and the cows and calves. You see, they are supplying Pani, waterfalls, fresh cooling waterfalls by which one can drink water there. And they are also giving Suya Vasa, which means fresh green grass that is very enjoyable by the cows and the calves. And there are also caves where Krishna plays with his friends. And there are also Kandamula means vegetables and fruits and roots which Krishna and his friends eat. And at the top of the Govardhan hill, Krishna and his friends, they also play games. In this way, this Govardhan is so glorious that it provides such a facility for Krishna and Balram and his devotees to have a great time enjoying there. And Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparsha Pramoda. Because the lotus feet of Krishna and Balram are touching their body, just look at this Govardhan, all his hair is standing on end in great Palagankita Visena, in great ecstasy. Just look at this Govardhan. So, singing this same prayer, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was approaching towards that sand dune. Same prayer which the gopis sang. And he was running towards the sand dune. And when Govinda ran behind him, many other Vaishnavas followed him. Gadadhar Pandit, Shankar Pandit, Ramayi, Nandayi, Swarudamodar, many others. They all ran behind him. Even Brahmananda Bharati and Paramananda Puri, they were also walking towards the Mahaprabhu's direction where everyone was going. Even the Bhagavan Acharya, who was lame, he was also trying to walk slowly as fast as he could. And everyone was going to find out what happened to him. And as he was proceeding very fast, nobody could stop him. But at one point of time, he became stunned due to ecstatic rapture. And he just became stunned and he was looking at the sand dune, looking at Govardhan. When he was saying immunity, all the pores of his body, they erupted. And just like, what do you call that? That eruptions in the body? Gooseberries, they called it, yeah. Gooseberries appeared in his body and all the hair stood on end. It looked exactly like kadamba flower. You seen kadamba flower? How it is? Or straight, huh? So his body appeared like that. And immediately from his eyes, the tears poured out like Ganga and Yamuna coming together in the ocean. So much of tears poured out of his eyes. And his whole body was quivering, it was shivering. And from every pore of his body, drops of blood were coming out and perspiration was coming out. In this way, shivering like this, Mahaprabhu fell on the ground immediately there. And when all of them came running behind, Govinda came and others came. Immediately Govinda took some water pot and took some water and sprinkled on his body and took his own towel and fanned him and tried to wake him up. But he was in very deeply absorbed consciousness. It took a long time for Vaishnavas to chant the holy names to wake him up. And when they woke him up, after a long time, Mahaprabhu stood up and shouted, Hari, Hari! He shouted Hari. Very happily, lifted his arms. But then still he was not in external consciousness. He used to be in three levels of consciousness. In internal, external and a semi-state. Semi-external. So at this time he was in semi-external consciousness. So when he got up, he was looking like this here and there. He was staring here and there and searching for something. All Vaishnavas are wondering, what is he searching? And he asked, where is my Govardhan? Where is Govardhan? Where have you all brought me now? He said, I saw Govardhan and I was eager to go and search out whether Krishna is present in the Govardhan. And I found Krishna climbing up the Govardhan, playing on his flute, surrounded by hundreds and thousands of pure white cows. And when I approached very eagerly towards the Govardhan, I found when Krishna played on his flute, all the gopis heard the flute and the gopis also assembled there. And
One of the gopis told me to go and pick some flowers and come. And when I came here to pick some flowers, all of you made some tumultuous loud sound that you have brought me here. Why did you take me away from Govardhan? Why did you take me away from Krishna's darshan? Why did you shout loudly like that? Saying like this, Mahaprabhu started weeping, tears. Saying that all the devotees also started weeping after him. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited the highest symptoms of transcendental ecstasy in loving separation from Krishna. The kind of ecstasy that was exhibited by the gopis and Srimati Radharani exhibited such symptoms. Many people cannot even understand these pastimes when this is being spoken, because the kind of separation that one feels from God is a reality. It's a transcendental reality. But one can experience that only when one is elevated to a very high position. What Srimati Radharani feels is called as Mahabhav. It's called as Mahabhav. That Mahabhav cannot be experienced by everyone. But still it is possible for every soul to feel separation from Krishna and Srimati Radharani and the gopis, who are topmost devotees. Otherwise Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have come to this world to teach this lesson to all the souls. It's not that he is coming to show a display of his own greatness. All of you see my greatness and you keep quiet. But he wants everyone to awaken the dormant Krishna consciousness in the heart, which is there in everyone. And every living entity can, in the first stage, cleanse the heart of all the dust accumulated for so many years. One has to cleanse it. The heart is free of all the anarthas. Then when the heart becomes innocent and pure, like he says in that Gundicha Mandir Marjan, in the Gundicha temple cleaning, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to all the devotees, he told them to clean and he also cleaned. And then when they all cleaned, they observed that all the Vaishnavas together, what they cleaned was on one side and what Mahaprabhu cleaned was on the other side. But Mahaprabhu had cleaned more than double of what they had cleaned. And they were all surprised. How did he clean so much? So much dust he accumulated. So he tried to show the example that generally the other philosophies like, you know, Jnana Marg or Yoga Marg, they certainly clean our heart to some extent. But while cleaning all these different margas, different paths, they fail to clean some of the most important anarthas which get stuck up in the heart, like a ink in the shirt, you know. Sometimes it doesn't go when you are washing with the soap. You need some petrol or kerosene for that. In the same way, Mahaprabhu taught his devotees to cleanse things which are not even known to other transcendentalists. Like he said, he was selling kutinati, jiva himsa. All these things he said. One should give up duplicity of heart, one should become innocent. And jiva himsa means one should give up envy for others. One's heart should be like a child, totally free from envy. So he taught them to cleanse some of the most difficult things to clean. That's why he told them, after cleaning everything, he said, again let's clean, he said. What to clean? He said, nothing should be left. Again, the finer particles they started searching and cleaning. Very, very fine particles. So, not everyone can find fine particles. But this Vaishnavas, many of them found out. So, Mahaprabhu taught that in our heart, first we have to become free from gross anarthas, like lust, pride, envy, anger, illusion, greed. But there are also many finer things like puja, labha, pratishta, and desire for fame, desire for name, desire for dhanam, janam, sundari, wanting wealth, wanting the association of company of women, wanting a big following. So Mahaprabhu taught how one should give up all these things. So such a person who takes care to nurture and cultivate his heart like a beautiful garden. See, cultivating our heart is like cultivating a garden. Like our temple garden, you can see how it is now. How horrible it is. Because till now we have tried five in charges we put for maintaining the garden. And we must have spent more than 30,000-40,000 for the garden. Still, the garden hasn't become beautiful because they put board and all many times. And nobody should sit in the lawn, you know. Nobody should pluck flowers. But then you find, even when the door is closed, you know, children climb up on the door, you know. They go inside, they totally spoil the grass, you know, pluck the flowers and everything, you know. Now there is another way to come in also. So, maintaining garden is not an easy joke. Some places you go and see how they maintain the garden, isn't it? Very wonderful. But then there is a strict rule. Nobody can touch anything. So maintaining garden is not easy thing. Our heart also has to be very carefully maintained like a beautiful garden. It has to be watered every day. It has to be fenced. We have to put a fence, we have to water it. And you have to see that when the weeds are growing, the weeds may take all the water when you are watering, instead of the plant getting the water. Similarly, our devotional creeper is also like a plant. There is a garden in our heart. And when we water it, sometimes what happens, devotees, when they come to Krishna consciousness in the beginning, they are very innocent. Very, very simple, like children. But after 2-3 years, when they get initiated, and by the time they go to second initiation, they become venomous. Venomous. Venomous means they become very offensive, blaspheming Vaishnavas, ridiculing Vaishnavas, speaking sarcastically, backbiting, pulling, pushing, criticizing, offending, becoming envious. All unwanted things, they all dominate the throne of the heart. And in this way, all the weeds come up. So, when the weeds come up, we begin finding fault with Vaishnavas. With even a Vaishnava who is very senior, who is pure, we even find fault with such people. Because heart becomes venomous, like a serpent. Now you may wonder, how can a devotee become venomous? A devotee is a pure soul. If you are chanting Hare Krishna, you should be advancing. How can a devotee become venomous? Devotee can become venomous. Because when you are watering, you have to take care that the weeds are not sucking all that water. If the weeds are taking all the water, then the plant will dry up and the weeds will become stronger. One day you will find the plant is totally dried up. Instead of producing flower and Krishna Prema fruit, the plant will be dried up totally. And what you will find? You will find the weeds will be sturdy and strong. They will be grown big. Sometimes that's what happens to many devotees when they come to our society. After some years, they just go astray because of offenses, because of blasphemy of Vaishnavas. They go away like that. So, some people are careful about removing the weeds, but then they are not so careful to put a fence. That's what happened in our garden temple. You know, we brought so much nice red sand. You know, we brought many nice pots, you know, to make our campus very decent. You know, we put the carpet grass and everything, but we forgot to fence. And all the children went inside and they spoiled the whole garden. Similarly, an elephant can enter into the garden. Once elephant enters, you know, it can just stamp on it. Similarly, blasphemy is called as hati mata, aparad, offending other Vaishnavas will put off our spiritual life off. Also, we should not allow the goats to eat. You know, once a goat eats a plant, finished, it won't grow after that. So in this way, one has to put a fence. We have to follow the regulative principles, and we have to, what is the fence for us? Anukulyasa sankalpa, pratikulyasa varjana. And that, as well as the order of the spiritual master. So we have to put such fences and protect the devotional service. And in this way, when we nurture the devotional creeper in our heart, gradually when it grows, and you keep watering, gradually you'll find flowers. Like a gardener is always eager to see when is the flower going to come. As soon as flowers have come, they will also produce seeds and fruits, isn't it? So he's very eager to see. Similarly, we can certainly have a great desire. When will I achieve Krishna Prema? One can have the desire. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expressing his longing to meet Krishna here. In the same way, it's not wrong on the part of a devotee to have a longing to meet Krishna. In fact, that is spoken by Rupa Goswami also. That one laulyam api ekala mulyam, he says. One should have the greed to meet Krishna. If you don't have the greed, then one will become complacent in spiritual life. You know, you come to the moment, first 2-3 years you are jumping up and down, and then you get initiated and everything is finished. After that you become complacent. Because, you know, there is no goal to attain after that. One feels, now I am initiated already. If you become second initiated, it's even a bigger problem. Because now till sannyas there is nothing in between. You know, you feel that, you know, okay. You know, maybe other Vaishnavas will drag me and take me back to Godhead. So one doesn't do anything. Sometimes one becomes very dull in spiritual life. The same person who was so dynamic, so working so hard in the beginning, one can become dull. One may neither cultivate internally nor perform external services. One may just become a lazy person. It happens with some people. That means we fail to water the plant. If you don't water, what will happen to the creeper? Again, it will dry up. Yeah. If you water the weeds, it's a problem. If you don't water the plant, that is also a problem. Like that. So, one has to grow this plant, and then one fine morning you will see flowers. You'll find many flowers come up. So this plant grows, it goes beyond Brahma Jyoti, beyond the Vaikuntha, and enters into the Goloka, Vrindavan. And at the feet of Krishna, it produces a beautiful fruit of Krishna prema. Similarly, we may be here in the material world, but we can have our heart in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan. And it's possible. One can make one's heart into Vrindavan. Just like Mahaprabhu was always absorbed in Vrindavan mood. He's teaching us from his own example. How should one cultivate one's heart? Krishna consciousness is not an external display of some superficial religion. Krishna consciousness is a cultivation of the heart. From taking the heart from a degraded, downtrodden, animalistic consciousness to a very, very fine consciousness where one incessantly loves the Lord, constantly remembers the Lord. And in that remembrance of the Lord, all your problems, which are like, see, if our problems are compared to seeds, if there's a huge flood in this room, you know, all the seeds will rot away, isn't it? They will not sprout, they will not germinate. Similarly, you may have a million problems, but if you are very Krishna conscious, Tvadvirya Gayana Mahamrita Magna Chitta, Prahlad says, when you are Magna in Bhakti, what happens? Then all your problems will rot and they will not trouble you anymore. They will not germinate, they will not produce, and the problems will not grow. You will see your problems becoming insignificant in Krishna consciousness. The more you grow, the more we advance in Krishna consciousness. It's not that the problems will go away, problems may be there, but you don't see them as problems anymore. Problems may be there for everyone in this world, but one doesn't pay attention to them. One gets the strength and maturity and wisdom and sufficient devotion by which one's mind again and again gets hooked to remembrance of Krishna, and the problems go to the background, you know, even if they happen to be there. One doesn't pay attention. But in a neophyte stage, what happens? Krishna goes to background. And our entire focus is on the problems only. We all the time think. That means we think we are better than Krishna. We think, you know, Krishna is not so powerful to solve my problems. So better Krishna, you go backside. And I will, now I am there, I am a better person than you, let me solve. So we put ourselves in the front and we all the time keep struggling with our own problems in our materialistic consciousness. So, in this way, especially all of us, we are following the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. In the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed the topmost, loftiest position one can achieve is to worship Krishna, constantly remembering Him as a Brajendra Nandan. Not even Krishna of Kurukshetra or Krishna of Dwaraka, but worshiping Krishna as Brajendra Nandan. And even while worshiping Krishna, not claiming that I know Krishna, I have seen Krishna, no. One should worship Krishna in the mood of the six Goswamis, as Vipralamba Seva, where the Goswamis always worship Krishna in the mood. Where is Krishna? Is he in Govardhan? Is he in the banks of Radhakund? Where is Srimati Radharani? So they were asking like that. Although they were seeing Krishna at every moment with their eyes. So in this way, rendering loving devotion service to Krishna in a mood of separation from Krishna and worshipping the divine couple, Shishi Radha and Krishna. And in this way, progressing in this kind of devotion higher and higher and higher to a stage where we will achieve the Divyonmada. We call it a Divyonmada. Divyonmada means transcendental madness, which Lord Chaitanya achieved. At which one exhibits the eight ecstatic symptoms. Even in the body of a devotee, these ecstatic symptoms are manifested. Romanchakam Pashutaranga Bajo Vande Guru Sri Charana Ravindam Mahaprabho Ketana Nritya Gita Vaditra Madhyan Mana Saurasena Romanchakam Pashutaranga Bajo Vande Guru Sri Charana Ravindam Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nritya Gita. When the Kirtan is done in accordance with the Kirtana start by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when the spiritual master, when he hears the Kirtan, what he does? In that Kirtan, chanting and dancing, he derives great transcendental ecstasy, due to which all the eight ecstatic symptoms are manifested in his body. It is said, for a pure devotee, such things manifest. So that is actually the highest stage where one is constantly thinking of Krishna. The 11th kind of Bhagavatam, in the discussion between King Nimi and Navayogendras, there is a Bhaksan Surasi's purport where he explains about a Uttamadhikari. There he says, it's not that a Uttamadhikari is seeing Krishna in every atom. When we say, Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvam Chamai Pashyati, It doesn't mean that, you know, you see one Krishna here, one Krishna there, one Krishna here. Not like that. Here he says, if that is the platform of Uttama Adhikari, then he says, then you cannot consider Narada, Shukadeva Goswami, Vedavyas, all these people to be Uttama Adhikaris. You can't consider them, he says, if that is the standard. So the real standard, he says, of Uttama Adhikari is, that a Uttama Adhikari is constantly longing to meet Krishna. That is his platform. Exactly like a lusty man finds the whole world filled up with beautiful women for his enjoyment. Or like a man, money-minded man. He finds everywhere money, 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 money. Where I can get money, more money. How I can make more money. So the same way a devotee is mad for meeting Krishna. This is the actual platform of Uttama Adhikari, he says. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashyati. So he sees Krishna everywhere. What does that mean? That means he is able, just like you see, he saw Govardhan. He saw the sand dune. But behind the sand dune, what came to his mind? Immediately Shyam Sundar remembrance came to him, isn't it? Similarly, he dreamt about Krishna in the night when he got up in the morning. But the dream was so pressing in his mind that even after taking bath, he didn't get relieved of the dream. Isn't it? Sometimes you take a bath, you know, go to another state of consciousness, isn't it? But he totally, Krishna was stuck in his mind. So even after going to Jagannath Mandir, still, when he looked at the deity, it looked like, you know, Krishna with flute for him. It appeared like, you know, Krishna of Vrindavan playing on the flute. But after that Orissa woman spoke to him and everything, then he came to external consciousness and realized, oh, this is not Vrajendranandan, this is actually Krishna in Kurukshetra. Like that he saw. So in this way, Mahaprabhu exhibits this kind of mood to show how one can be totally absorbed in remembrance of Krishna. This is a very, very elevated platform of feeling of separation from Krishna. The best way that we all can feel separation from Krishna is to feel separation from prasadam. Isn't it? How many of you have felt separation from prasad? All of us, isn't it? It's very easy. But we don't feel such separation from the personality of Krishna. Anyway, prasadam is also one form of manifestation of Krishna. So, because we are in Annamaya stage, Annamaya, Pranamaya, Vijnanamaya, when you go higher and higher, when you come to Anandamaya stage, in Anandamaya, you know, Haridas Thakur was sitting and chanting. Somebody, you know, who, when he was offered prasad, you know, Jagannath, Lord Jagannath prasad, immediately offered obeisances. And, you know, he was very happy to offer obeisances. And he said, I have not completed my rounds, but I have honored the prasadam by offering obeisances. Like that he did. Another time, Advaita Acharya had called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his house for prasad. And Mahaprabhu saw there were so many varieties of shak kept there. He started dancing and chanting and doing kirtan and glorifying prasad. Circumambulating prasad and doing chanting. Advaita Acharya had to tell him, please kindly sit and have prasad. So great devotees, they will derive more joy by glorifying prasad than eating it. Like that. Sometimes we don't even complete the Mahaprasad prayer. Half prayer we put in the mouth. We think it is too long. Isn't it? So, in this way, in our stage, to appreciate Krishna's Shyam Sundar form, threefold bending form, playing on the flute, seeing Krishna everywhere. And these are all like Greek and Latin for us. But I still spoke about it today because we have to know what is the pinnacle of religion. It is important for everyone to know. Like, you know, we all can read Nectar of Devotion, we can read Krishna, we can read Bhagavatam. By reading that, we have to know what is my ideal. If not in this life, some lifetime I have to reach some ideal. One has to reach that ideal. And then we can understand, where am I? Where is my ideal? Then we can understand, I have a long way to go. And that will make us humble. After all, I am not that great. I may be thinking very high of myself, but we are not in that platform. So then it makes us more humble when we approach Krishna. And also, Chaitanya Charitamrita pastimes are such that you can't, it is not something where you tell a pastime and you give a logical explanation. Maybe you can do to some extent. But ultimately, the pastimes in Chaitanya Charitamrita are pastimes which have to act in our heart. They are like a direct medicine to the heart. By hearing the Chaitanya Leela and the behavior of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the mysterious pastimes, very, very, very mysterious, which a common man cannot understand. But if we have little devotion, which we have achieved by begging from pure devotees, with that little devotion, although we are like a dwarf trying to capture the moon, still by the mercy of devotees we can understand this pastime to some extent. At least we can relish them in our heart, although we cannot achieve that stage. So when you have a relish for this, then that lavalyam is developed in the heart. The greed is developed. How wonderful! Just see how Lord Chaitanya is dancing and chanting in great transcendental bliss, you know. And all devotees are, you know, totally absorbed in such a spiritual consciousness. And just look at myself, you know, I am so degraded, you know. One can compare one's downtrodden consciousness with such exalted souls. And one's eagerness for approaching Krishna will increase by hearing such pastimes. So this is actually the topmost platform of religion. To constantly think of Krishna. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyamte pratijane priyosime. Think of me always. Smartavyam satatam Vishnu vismartavyam najatu chit. One should always remember the Lord. Like in Bhagavatam also it is said, etavan sankhya yoga abhyam sadharma parinishtaya janmalabha parapumsam ante narayana smriti. At the time of death one should be able to remember the Lord. So the remembrance is given so much importance. Remembering Krishna, remembering the Lord, form of the Lord. But Prabhupada says, remembrance of the Lord is possible more easily when one feels separation. In one place Prabhupada writes that. If one is in a platform of great material satisfaction, then one cannot feelingly call out the name, Hey Govinda, Hey Krishna, Hey Madhusudana, Hey Mukunda. We cannot call like that, feelingly, when one is in great material satisfaction. When one, on the other hand, when one has that devotion in the heart, humility, then one can call out. Recently I was telling one of our devotees in our discussion, which I wouldn't mind sharing with you. Because we have to know our platform also. Like we have many preachers in our IVF also, we are preaching. Sometimes devotees start thinking high of themselves, that, you know, we are preachers, we are giving classes, you know, we are very learned, and we have a, you know, we have such an intellectual understanding of Shastras. So they start thinking very high of themselves. So I was telling one devotee that this is not the benchmark for assessing the greatness of a devotee. If a devotee is able to study the scriptures and just give classes, or if you are able to convince some people, you know, to become devotees or to chant and things like that, that's not the benchmark of a devotee. I was telling him, like, you know, when I had gone to Mayapur, I found certain devotees from whom I derived a great inspiration. One or two incidents I can share with you. One place when I went to ashram, I found devotees, when they wear tilak, they wear tilak with so much devotion. They have even achaman patra. And they take the achaman patra, they purify both the hands, and they take, you know, Govindanama, Keshavanama, Narayanama, they do that. And then they take the tilak, and every part of the body they put the tilak exactly the same way as we put here. But when we put tilak, this is like advertisement department. You put a very nice tilak here, and here, like that, all over the body. We don't pay so much attention. So we don't follow the rituals that are given to us very seriously. Similarly, how many times Brahmanas have missed Gayatri? You can ask those who take Brahman Diksha. In the beginning we are serious, but over a period of time, many times they fail to do Gayatri perfectly, strictly following the rules and regulations in our neophyte stage. So in our stage, if we don't follow the rituals and rules that are given to us strictly, then in the long run we will not achieve Krishna Prema. It's not possible. Like, you know, if you promise the Lord, I will chant 6 rounds, anybody 6 rounds, they have to chant 6 rounds. If you are an initial devotee, 6 rounds chanting and following 4 principles, you have to strictly follow it. Because we can do these things better than, you know, developing loving longing from Krishna and all, you know, feeling of separation, which is more easy. Can you feel separation from Krishna easily, or can you follow these rules and regulations easily?
Rules and regulations.
Yeah, rules and regulations you can easily follow. We should follow them. And besides that, I was telling, when I went to that Radha Madhava temple, they told me to sing this Mangala Arati. So one devotee came and put a garland on my neck and said, later on I asked him why he gave me the garland. Then he said, you know, we give garland to every devotee who sings Mangala Arati, so that they can sing in divine consciousness. Because they are representing all the people in front of the Lord. So they have to sing in good consciousness. Another devotee in the afternoon came and, you know, one very senior devotee, he put a garland and he gave a big pat on my back and said, you know, so I heard a lot about your Ashampur youth preaching. Huh? So go out and preach, make many students into great devotees. Bring people to Prabhupada, never selling. I don't even know his name even now. Some very senior devotee. I don't even know. I could see he was an elderly devotee. Somebody must have told him that my name is Radhesham and all. But I was telling, just look at these devotees, how non-envious they are. How simple-hearted they are. How pure-hearted they are. So that is more important than being very educated, having a big degree. Now we have a BE or BTech or MTech or PhD. And we can give intellectual lectures, we can convince people. And we can sing nicely, we can, you know, preach nicely. This is actually not a qualification at all. That is why I was telling Krishna consciousness is a religion of the heart. It is not just superficial. We should read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. For what purpose? Everybody knows. Why should we read these literatures? He is saying for purification of Krishna. That means those who are doing it for purification of Krishna, they are generally people in mode of goodness. They want to become good brahmanas in this world. Yeah. Why do we read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and all? He is saying we can have Shastra Chakshu. So we can see the world with the eye of the Shastra. What he said also is correct in that sense. Actually what you all are saying is correct, but I am looking for another answer. He is saying to develop love of Krishna, yes? To have faith in all conditions. Yeah. In our conditioned state, in order to develop faith, we have to study Shastra. Okay. Yeah?
Krishna.
Try to remember the Lord, yes? To revive return. He is saying first 9 cantos are for purification and then 10th canto is for. He wants to satisfy me completely. You know, he wants to give a complete package. You
know?
He is saying to please Prabhupada to get his mercy. Anyway, all of you have given correct answers. But the most correct answer is, we study the scriptures to develop love for Krishna. The idea of studying scriptures is not just purification, or not just know what Krishna wants us to do. See, the jnanis, when they read any scripture, they have a great eagerness to know things. Like, you know,
see, have you heard jnanis offering prayers? They will say, asatoma, sadgamaya, tamasoma, jyotirgamaya. Let me go out of darkness and come to light, you know. Let me give up my anarthas and, you know, come to a stage where I conquer my senses. This is jnani's prayer. But you will not, if you find Bhakta's prayer, Bhakta always wants to love Krishna and serve him. So within the pages of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, when we read, we should always be looking for devotional element where we should read them to develop devotion for the Lord. Of course, we read for many other purposes. We read also for giving lectures. We read also for purification. We also read to please Prabhupada. We also read to develop Shastra Chakshu. It's all true, certainly. But ultimately, no one should read it on an intellectual plane. We should read with a desire to develop devotion. We should feel that all this knowledge is karma brahmodbhavam viddhi, brahmakshara samudbhavam. Lord has given this knowledge. So by reading it, my heart will become a fertile ground for,
you know, the devotional creeper to grow nicely. So my heart should become like Vrindavan. With that desire, one should read the literatures to develop loving devotion to Krishna. That is actually the whole idea. So even the lectures we give should be given with that desire, with that motive. Even when I preach to others, when we are preaching to others or preaching to ourselves, when we do, that should be actually the motive behind anything we do. So in this way, this is actually the highest platform of worshipping God, the ultimate religion, called as Paro Dharma. Paro Dharma, what is that verse? Savai Pumsam, Paro Dharmo, Yato Bhakti Radokshaje, Ahaituki Apratihata Yayatma Suprasidati. All other religions are sub-religion. They are all subordinate religions. And in this chapter, Arjuna is asking this verse, Katam Vidya Maham Sanke Tvam Sada Parichintayan Keshu Keshu Chabaveshu Chintyo Si Bhagavan Maya. So how can I remember you, Krishna? How can a common man think of you by seeing the things of this world? That's a secondary platform. It's not a primary platform. primary platform is to think of Brajendra Nandan Krishna. Like Lord Chaitanya saw Krishna everywhere. Wherever he, like in fact he regretted whenever somebody brought him to external consciousness. He was like, just like a camera, you know, if you take a camera and focus on a person, one person is prominent and everything else goes to the background, isn't it? They are very dizzy. So for a devotee, Brajendra Nandan Krishna is so prominent and all other things of the world, they become very hazy. That's how Mahaprabhu would see. He couldn't see other things much. He says, you know, Pratima Tuminai Sakshat Brajendra Nandan. You are not a deity, you are Sakshat Brajendra Nandan, he says. So he saw Sakshat Krishna when he saw the Lord. That was his consciousness like that. So that's the highest plane. And next to that is to see that, you know, the Lord has entered everyone's heart as a super soul, you know. And trying to see the vibhuti in everything, like we were telling, beauty, you know, knowledge, strength, you know, such things you see. And then you understand that this kind of vibhuti or shakti or opulence is a small drop of Krishna's opulence, you know, to see like that. That is secondary actually, second level. And then there are even many lower levels below that. But the highest level is to develop attraction for the personality of Krishna. That is why it's called as the golden rule, Manmanabha Madhbhakta verse. I called this as the golden rule, which means thinking of Krishna is very much stressed. Even Narada Muni stresses in Bhagavatam, Katamopina Dena Syat Panchanam Purushampati. He is condemning a king and glorifying others. He is saying kings like Vena, they were atrocious but they never thought of Krishna. But there were kings like Shishupal, although they were atrocious, they thought of Krishna. So Shishupal achieved perfection because of thinking of Krishna, even in an inimical way. Because Krishna is absolute, anybody in whatever way they think of him, by coming in contact with absolute person, they also become purified. Of course, we are not advised to think of Krishna inimically. But the point is, somehow or other one should, yena kena prakarena, he uses, yena kena prakarena mana Krishna niveshaye, sarve vidhi nishedasya, yetyoreva kinkara. He says, somehow or other one should always remember Krishna and think of him. And all other rules and prohibitions are subordinate to this ultimate principle, he says. So, that is the reason why we rise early in the morning, we sing Mangala Arati, we chant Hare Krishna 2 hours a day, and chanting on the beads, like studying Bhagavad Gita, hearing his instruction. At the current moment, we may know about Krishna, but we haven't developed attachment for him. Because we have attachment elsewhere. So the elsewhere attachment has to gradually be withdrawn and focused on Krishna. Then time will come and we will develop attachment. So in this way, Arjuna concludes this chapter by hearing from Krishna, Ekam Shena Stito Jagat. Now Arjuna will become curious. What is this Ekam Shena Stito Jagat? You are saying that you are holding the whole universe in one small Eka Amsha? How do you pervade the whole universe in your Eka Amsha? That Eka Amsha is actually Super Soul. As Super Soul, how do you pervade the whole universe? And how do you make all the things run in this world? So then Arjuna becomes eager to know more opulence of Krishna in the form of Vishwarupa Darshan. So then in the next class we will begin with Vishwarupa Darshan. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. How can we know? Okay, when you are watering the plant, whether it is nourishing the plant or nourishing the weeds, how do we know it? That is very easy to know. Like, you know, all of us can take a closer look in our own hearts. You ask yourself, are you becoming healthier in Krishna consciousness? Are you becoming weaker in Krishna consciousness? Are your anarthas getting stronger and stronger? Or the anarthas are gradually getting dried up? One can easily see that. See, healthy in Krishna consciousness is very easy to see. Even others can see. Like amongst the devotees, you ask the counselor, they can tell you who is becoming healthier. You tell me, what are the symptoms of a healthy devotee? Tell me. He'll be very fat. What are the symptoms? Most importantly, he is very happy, always happy. So his happiness doesn't come from external agents. He or she doesn't depend on external agents. You know, oh, nobody is loving me, nobody pays attention to me, they didn't do this for me, he didn't do this for me, all that I am complaining. No, that means they are not happy in Krishna consciousness. If you are happy in Krishna consciousness, then all other, even the
existing problems, you know, you will not magnify them, you know, you will be able to tackle them. So one of the symptoms is that one is very happy. Any other symptom anybody can say? Yeah? Non-envious, he is saying. Yeah? Non-envious? He is always in a serving mode. Yeah. Huh? He is saying detached. He is saying detached from materialistic things of the world. Yeah. Correct. All are correct. He is saying our vision becomes very clear, we start becoming aware of our own self. He is saying, correct. So in this way, we all can see, are my weeds growing strong or is my devotional creeper growing strong? You can easily see that. You have to see, and if you are finding the weeds are going strong, then there is something wrong. We have to approach the seniors and ask them, tell me how I can, you know, uproot the weeds, you know, how I can nourish the... Like some devotees become blasphemous, as I was telling, but they don't care. They don't go and talk to devotees, they just blaspheme from the background and they spend a lot of time, and then the disease becomes like a chronic illness. When it becomes chronic, you can imagine, then they are unsavable, finished. They'll be gone, at least this lifetime they are finished. Now maybe some other lifetime in future, you know. So one should not become unsavable. One should take a closer look at oneself and always be in the company of devotees. I am talking all the time about this blasphemy because sometimes what happens when a person blasphemes Vaishnavas, he gradually goes away from association. Because he blasphemes 1%, 2%, 3%, ultimately blasphemes everyone and goes away. they become good for nothing after that. It is explained by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. He explains, and you know, he is asking a good question. He is saying chanting is such a nice spiritual activity, how can it contribute to development of weeds? It's a good question, huh? So Vishnu Chakravarti explains that a person who blasphemes other devotees, he cannot chant inoffensively. You know the 10 offenses against the holy name we chant. So when you blaspheme Vaishnavas, that's the first offense, you know, and then all other offenses follow. And when you commit offenses during chanting, we develop a distaste for chanting. See, every time you chant, the more you commit offenses, the more you develop a distaste. Such a distaste that, you know, just like when you get a fever, your tongue is bitter, body is hot, you know, body has temperature, you know. So you just can't eat any nice palatable foodstuffs. You know, your stomach is like full, you don't feel like eating anything. On the other hand, look at a healthy person. You give him a plate full of food, he will eat very nicely. But an unhealthy person cannot eat. In the same way, an offensive chanter goes to a diseased zone where one is unable to chant. Even uttering the name will become difficult at one time. He will start reducing his rounds and all. That's like this Valmiki, you know. Narada told him, tell me, Rama, he said. He was not able to say Ram because of too many offenses in the previous life. Yeah. One cannot even utter a particular name like that. So, then when one chants offensively more and more, that will contribute to degrading. Then one has to come out of the offensive zone, and that can come only when one rectifies oneself and seeks forgiveness from Vaishnavas and purifies. That is why in devotional life we are not independent. Our progress is dependent on other Vaishnavas in spiritual life. Yes, you had somebody else had a question also? One question here. You have been waiting for a long time. Yeah? What other weeds we have? Many other weeds. Yeah. Like, you know, I was telling attraction for Dhanam, Janam, Sundarim. Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim. He says, no? Kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishware bhavata bhakti rahaitu kitvai. So when one becomes a devotee, one will find, just like Samudra Manthan time, no? So many gifts came. Similarly, when you become a devotee, many gifts will come to you. You will get dhanam, janam, sundaram, everything will come. Because, see, when a devotee becomes possessed of Krishna, he becomes very attractive. Just like Devaki, when she became possessed of Krishna, in the womb, she became very beautiful. Huh? Everyone found her shining, very, very beautiful. Similarly, when Krishna resides in your heart, you become a nice devotee, then you become so attractive, then you become like a magnet. Then you will start pulling. Like you see in the gurus in ISKCON, if you see, no? When they come, you will see thousands of people want to come, they want to see them, they want to offer obeisances to them, they want to take blessings from them. People are like mad to see them, you know, because they are carrying Krishna with them.
When a person carries Krishna, he becomes like a magnet. He attracts. So of course it is very nice that he attracts, he or she attracts other people. But then if that person is humble and a transparent via media, then all those people can develop attraction for Krishna. But if the person becomes opaque and becomes attracted to Dhanam, Janam and Sundaram, he uses money for his own enjoyment, he exploits women, and he wants to increase his followers, to increase his name and fame. Such a person becomes degraded. They fall down. Many people have fallen down like that. So we should not be foolish to be enjoying in this Tarangarangini. Tarangarangini means relishing in the material gifts that come to us. One should be very careful. One should continue to remain detached and offer everything to Krishna. So similarly, puja, labh, pratishta, and jiva himsa means enviousness towards other living beings. They all are beats. If you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will get many of them explained. Madhuri Kadambini explains in great length detail how you go from Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anarthana Vritti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Rati, Bhava Prem, how you ascend gradually. So when we understand them, then we can become very careful. One last question, somebody. In one lecture, Maharaj told, you should not feel too happy. If you feel happy and satisfied, then you cannot grow, he is saying. See, everything has two sides, we have to understand. When he said, what he meant in that context was, don't become complacent in spiritual life. Complacency means, at a certain point of duty things, now I am initiated now, I am going for the weekly program now, I am going for the Sunday program, I am attending counselor meeting now. Okay, life is going, 16 rounds in the morning I am chanting. In this way I am a wonderful devotee, that's all, Like that one feels. That is called complacency. One doesn't feel, let me do something for Prabhupada. Let me distribute some books. Let me go out and preach. Let me make some colleagues of my mind to Krishna consciousness. Like I'll tell you a practical example. One devotee who is in my guidance in Hyderabad, he recently wrote a letter to me. Just look at his enthusiasm. He said, He was invited for a marriage. One of his friends invited for a marriage. So he went for the marriage. He said, I wore this t-shirt having this, Krishna, this Damodar pastime, He wore that t-shirt. I purposely purchased this t-shirt from Rajamundri and I wore this t-shirt, and all over the marriage I went and, stood in front of everyone. So that at least every single person who has come for the marriage should get a darshan of Krishna, And then there was a Muslim person who was, clicking video with this thing, And he told him, can you please kindly return and take my t-shirt also, And then showed him. Now he said that video is going to be seen by so many relatives, He focused on this Krishna t-shirt for about 2 to 3 minutes per person and both sides just taken. So he was selling. So this is one preaching he said he did. And to the, and he met the couple, husband and wife. And he gave them your best friend. He gave that book. And he also gave Radha Gopinath Prabhu's 7-day course CD. He said, these are the two things I like the most, he said. So he gave them that and he gave them mala also. And he took a promise from them that they will chant one round at least every day. And on the day of the marriage, he told her that today onwards your life is going to become totally auspicious. You will become free from sin. I will teach you how to become free from sin, he told. And then he taught her how to offer bhoga. And he gave her the sheet and everything and told her. So this devotee is under Krishna Prabhu's custody in Pune. He comes here also. So you can see his enthusiasm like a child, you see. So much enthu for preaching. Actually, even we all have that enthu in the early stages. After some time, when we grow, we become little dull. That kind of childlike enthusiasm goes away. Very, very important to have that enthu throughout. We should feel ecstatic to preach to others like that, wherever the opportunity presents. And he also wrote in the same letter, one very big industrialist friend he got, And that friend one day just expressed to him that I would like to, you are an ISKCON man, I would like to go to ISKCON. As soon as he said that, he told him to drop everything now. Right now we are going to ISKCON, he said. And he took him in the bike, they traveled for about 4 hours in bike. Mountainous region and all places they crossed in the bike, you can imagine. And he took him to ISKCON temple the very same day. And then his friend said, hey, why did you, bring me with so much trouble? You are troubled and I am troubled. He said, you see, the desire to, meet Krishna is very rare in one's life. And now I have seen you never can get such an interest. And if you are saying that you want to go to ISKCON, then I have to serve you, he told them.
and he took him to temple like that. So why I am saying this, these are examples of a person who is very enthusiastic. If you want, you can call it over enthusiasm if you want. But you know, certainly there is some enthusiasm element in that. So we shouldn't become complacent. That's the idea when we talk about happiness. But the Shastras talk about a person who is practicing, you know the series of verses, Prasade Sarva Dukkana Hanirasyo Pajayate Prasanna Chetasho Hyashu Buddhi Pariyavatishtate. Prasanna Chetasho, his chitta, his chetana is full of happiness for one who is situated in a transcendental plane. One has to be happy. If one is not happy, then one is not in the transcendental plane. And one is actually hovering on a mundane plane, you know, shochati kanshati, hankering and lamenting like that. So, like, you know, we say same thing. You should not become proud, we say, isn't it? But it doesn't mean you should not have self-esteem. We should have self-esteem. We should be proud that you have got shelter of Prabhupada, you know, you have the right philosophy with you. You should have the self-esteem. And we say we should be humble. That doesn't mean you should have inferiority complex, you know. So everything has two sides. We have to see like that from both sides. Thank you very much. We'll do 5 minutes kirtan.